We trust that they will be blessed. I'll just give Ken his microphone. You know when, thanks Emma and Nigel, really appreciate you leading us in praise and worship. There's some thoughts going around my head and you think, now should I say them? Well, I know Ken well enough to say it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, is that true? When we was in the Czech Republic, all Ken did with me was make fun of me over chicken. And now, after his international tour of Uganda, all he prays about is chicken. He'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So, Ken, welcome.
Thank you. What a joy to be here. So, I thought today I'd give you a real treat. I'll say nothing. But I thought maybe Val could just give a little update on Uganda. Yeah, I know Karen, has she sort of told you all about it thus far? Well, let's get a bit more. So the brains of the organisation, my lovely wife.
Well, just to let you know, we had truly a wonderful time. It was, and God was with us. You know when the Lord, you just feel led and you feel that God was surrounding us in all the different trials and tribulations that we had, some challenges. But it was a most wonderful trip. And for me, the fact that we had two teams going out from our church and some other churches as well. We had your lovely Karen with us and everything, and she was such a blessing, I tell you. She really was. It was like if there were any gaps to be filled, she'd be there to fill them. You know what she's like. She's like that, isn't she? So it was such a blessing. And every time we met people, she kept saying, oh, my dad knew them. My dad, you know what I mean? It was like, because, you know, Uganda's sort of borders onto the Congo, where her parents were missionaries. They met, you know, there was a lot of kind of overlap there, which was great. But we had a team that stayed, we had seven people stayed in the visitor centre, the first time ever. We've had one or two men staying, but this is a proper visit, and it went fantastically. It really did. Yeah, and everybody that stayed there. The children were so blessed. In fact, they were so blessed that when the team left, the children were crying their eyes out. They were literally sobbing their hearts out because they'd had some love and they'd had some attention. And there was toys taking them. They had underwear that you provided and glasses. We had a wonderful medical day. I think we saw 270 people. And that was registered, but actually there were probably more, at least 300 from the village, the local village. Children, adults, older people were really helped, which is wonderful. That's why we go. So it was an awesome trip. And the headmaster of the school, you will like this. The school's been going, what, 12 years now? 14 years? 2009, since 2009. And we've got this headmaster, his name's James. If you think of praying for him, please do. He's a lovely man, lovely Christian guy. And he has brought the school up. He really has. And to the point where he told us that in the area, in the region, out of 670 schools, our school came third. Isn't that awesome? So we had to. I questioned him afterwards and said, "What does that mean, James?" And he said, "It's the exam results, quality of the learning, the teachers being cared for and paid. The clinic played a huge part because we have healthcare for the children." And I'll tell you what, that clinic is amazing. I mean, one of the team members was actually my daughter. She came out, and also my grandson. But while they were there, my daughter had she got kind of sick. She had something, and she had to have two IVs in the clinic, which was. She said to me afterwards, she said, what a blessing when you think that for the local villagers, if they needed it, that, you know, they've got it there. So just to encourage you and thank you for your generosity, because looking around that site, the complex, you as a church have paid for so much of that stuff, the well and the walls, the clinic, you know, just give yourself a pat on the back, but in a holy way. But you know, just to see these people have so helped and are so grateful for us to come. I mean, we went round to numerous churches and did conferences and various things in Kampala. And you know what? Some of the poorest churches that were literally made of corrugated tin, they were the loveliest churches, honestly. We were so touched. One of the last churches we went to, one of the last churches, we ended up praying for every member of that congregation, laying hands on them. And they were so keen to receive from God. Do you know what I mean? And so grateful for us to come. So we were very blessed. We've had a good time. The only downside was it took us 36 hours to get home because of the events going on in the Middle East. And so our plane got cancelled. But other than that, God's grace is sufficient. We got home. The football tournament. Yeah, so they came up with the idea of a football tournament, and they ended up with 9 other schools taking part. And I'll tell you what, they haven't got much else, but they take sport seriously. Our group were very surprised that the whole village came out to watch these games. So our team came third, did they? Where did we come? Third in that. But out of 9 schools. But yeah, and they also did a netball tournament. And they said, my daughter said, Mum, they're really good. Some of them have got no shoes. Some had trainers, but they're so good. You know, they work so hard. And it touches you to see it, you know, to see the passion these kids have to do something that they can achieve, you know. So we were blessed, really blessed. And I'm sure Karen's going to show us some pictures.
That. It's just something you remind me of. Years ago, our son Joshua used to do gymnastics. We didn't have very much money at all. And he'd sort of said to us, oh, well, there's this thing, as they say, going on at the King's Inn Sports Centre. We turned up, loads and loads of coaches, loads of people. They all got out looking quite well-dressed. Joshua had got holes in his shoes. And I can remember saying to God, this is where that comes in, it's about the gifting. It's not about what you've got on. It doesn't matter. It's about the gifting. It's the same with them. God has gifted them. And
so great. It was a blessing. So thank you for your prayers. And it was one of the best trips this year. It was really good.
I have a red light, Houston. Is that what I'm looking for? I'm there, am I? Well, praise God. So for those of you who think we just swan around when we go to Uganda, on Friday, I did 3 meetings in 3 different places, and the last one we went to was 10 o'clock at night. On Sunday, we did 3 meetings in 3 different places. And the roads in Uganda are not the same quite as in England. But what a great adventure. I love it. I just said to my wife coming here today how much I enjoyed being in Uganda. So thank you for that. Who remembers what I talked about last time I was here? Of course you'll remember. The prodigal son. So Father, we can't praise you now for your goodness. Thank you. You are here. Good thing about all of this is we don't have to work it up. We don't have to work it out. We just have to embrace it. So you are here, and wherever you are, wonderful things happen. So we're expecting wonderful things to happen in our life and in the lives of those around us in this place. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, the saints of God say, Amen. Well, the story of the prodigal son. There was a man who had 2 sons. And the younger son came to him and said, Dad, I can't wait for you to die. Basically, that's the summary of it. Give me my inheritance and give it to me now. So the father gives it to him and off he goes. And he squanders it on prodigal living, wasteful living. And so much so that eventually he comes to the place where he's got nothing. And he hires himself out to one of the local people. This is just quickly bringing you up to where the story goes. And the local people, this guy gets him to go and feed the pigs. Now, for a Jewish boy, can you think of a worse job than feeding pigs? But he was so hungry, it says he would gladly have joined the pigs and got in there and had their dinner. So it says, and suddenly he came to himself. He came to his right mind. And considering, he said, you know, even my father's servants did better than this. I would arise and I would go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your servant, your son. Make me like one of your servants. Yeah? That's prodigal. Because that's you and me. God has been so good to us. Yeah, we can't wait for heaven. We can't wait for what God's got for us. We want it, and we want it now. That's what's called sin, really, basically. It's us saying to God, I know you said no, but I'm saying yes. So he comes home. The Bible says, while he was a long way off, his father saw him. This is the love of God. But he came running out to him, fell on his neck and loved him. And says to the servants, bring out the robe, bring out the ring, bring out the sandals. My child that was dead is now alive, so on and so forth. That's the story up to so far. The older brother, you and I, if we're not careful, us religious church folk, comes back and he hears it all going on. There's this big party. So he gets his servant and says, hey, what's happening? And the servant says, Your brother who's lost has come home and dad's having a party. He's killed a fatted calf. That's where that saying comes from. And he gets the ump and he won't go in. And his father comes out to him. Listen, graciousness of God. He comes out. You're up to verse 31 because this is the text, really. I said I'm going to preach this as like a little trilogy for you. Three parts. Ready? Son, you are with me always. All I have is yours. I want to say to you, he forgot who he was, son, where he was, you are with me always, what he had, all I have is yours. So we did the first one, I think. I touched on the son thing. But today I want to talk about, I'm always with you. You're with me always. I want to say now, in this room, and in our nation, and in the world, there is an epidemic. Never before has a generation had so much. And yet they say it's kind of like one in two, one in three have got mental health issues. Put your head around that. The world has never had so much. And I would say to you, this epidemic predominantly is caused by one thing, really. Well, two things. One is that we've turned our back on God. But secondly, loneliness. Augustine said this, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. We were made primarily to know and love God. And because that vacuum and that void in us, this God-shaped hole, we try to stuff it full of other things. But other things don't do it. And then, of course, we've got our social media, and we can all sit there and have our own little world on our lap. The problem with that is we become lonely. We become isolated. And you ever been to a restaurant and see a guy and a girl out on a date, both sitting there reading their phones? Really romantic. Hang on. I love you. I love you. It's sort of lost something. And we've become more and more and more isolated. So it used to be just old people who suffered from isolation. I want to say to you now, if you looked at the stats of young people, And they're out hanging with the crowd, doing their thing. And yet on their own. See, that's the problem, isn't it? It's when we're on our own. And that's the world we live in. And I'm going to say, even in Christendom, those who would call yourself Christian, it's so easy to forget where you are. And we will hopefully fill in those gaps as we go along. James put it like this. James chapter 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer. We forget what Jesus has done for us. We forget the promises of God. We forget the love of God expressed to us at Calvary. We forget who God has made us in Jesus. And somehow or another, we've got this feeling that we are on our own. Oh, we know we're going to heaven. We know we're saved. Hallelujah. But I want to say to you today, even in this room, there are people who forget that God has said, I am with you. And that's where we're going to go. Because sometimes our situations, our circumstances and our conditions scream so loudly that we are apt to forget. And that's why, listen what it says here. It says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and is a continuous hearer, that one will be blessed. I'm going to throw you out a question. Don't want to show up hands. You don't want to embarrass yourself. The perfect law of liberty, obviously it's not the law of Moses, because Hebrews quite clearly teaches us that weren't perfect, otherwise Christ didn't need to come. So the perfect law of liberty is what? Our Bibles. What Christ has done for us. How do we know what Christ has done for us? Because it's written in the book. My question is this. So don't stick your hand up. When was the last time you stuck your nose in the book? When was the last time you read your Bible? Let me do something. I saw a hand. Nope. Because that's where we become forgetful hearers. And that's why Psalm 103, verse 2. Forget not all his benefits. We need to remind ourselves constantly of what we have in Christ and where we are in Christ. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty. If you wanted to have time now, you could go to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is acceptable, good and perfect will of God. The law of the Spirit of life. Yeah, that's what it says, isn't it? The perfect law. The law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit. Ready? I will just build you a little picture and then we'll get right into this. That one. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now where the Lord is, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The whole idea of us looking into this book. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:42. As we look in this book, the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, takes what's on that page, reveals it to us, and we start walking in the freedom of sons. We start enjoying life. Oh, I enjoy life. See, I said to someone in my own church, I have to say to people every now and again, let's say something to me. I said, I'm sorry, I go to bed like this and I wake up like this. So, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. We are continuing hearers. We'll move on. But that's why you forget who you are. It says, it's like the Bible's like a mirror. It shows us. So when, you know, when, I don't know. Bible says about us being the apple of his eye. We read it in our Bible. I am the apple of the eye of God. Like a mirror, it speaks to me and says, you are the apple of the eye of God. You know, I read in my Bible, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I look in it and it speaks back to me and says, guess what? You are free. But if we don't look, we become forgetful hearers and we forget what we have in Christ. The fullness of it, we have, what does the Bible say? We are complete in Christ. Nothing, that word complete, can translate it perfect, can say mature. It literally means nothing lacking. Nothing lacking for life and godliness. But if we don't read the book, how is God supposed to show us? Oh, well, if God wants to speak to me, he can speak to me. He can. And he might. Occasionally. But if you want it continuously, stick your nose in the book. Back to the Son. We forgot where he was. Son, you are with me always. Ever with me. New Living Translation. You are very close. Son, daughter, you are very close. You need to hear the Spirit of God speak to you this morning and say to you who feel lonely and lost and disappointed, listen. You are ever. Because I tell you what, I've been in church a long while. Me and Methuselah used to go to church together. He was in my youth group. I've been there that long. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the most commonest problems in Christendom. People do not know who they have, are, or what they have. Remember the old saying? I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. But I'll tell you what, you look around Christendom and a lot of people say, huh? I am who God says I am. I am love. I am the head and not the tail. I tend upwards and not downwards. I've not got time to go into that with you. Deuteronomy 28, if you want to do it when you get home. What about this one, the Message Bible? Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time. I'm going to tell you something in a minute. What does all the time mean? Go on. I'm in Norfolk and with this clever bunch. All the time means all the time. Well done. Son, you are with me all the time. Does that mean when I'm good? I'm do your head now. Because straight away, most people... I say to you, yeah, God's with you all the time. Straight away, oh yeah, but Brother Stratton, I didn't know. No, you're not. You will never be good enough. That is the wonderful message that we preach. Now, I remember seeing a poster outside a church once, and it said, none too bad to enter, none too good to enter. God don't care. None of us deserve anything. You want the Now Ken quote? Have I done this one yet? The Now Ken quote. It's all over Africa. In fact, someone just wrote to me the other day on the bottom of the... God can take a nobody and make him a somebody in front of everybody without asking. You got it. God can take a nobody and make him a somebody in front of everybody without asking anybody. And that's what he's done with us. But if I say that to you, oh no, brother, I'm not good enough. Son, you are with me always, even when you are less than perfect. And I find that hard to believe in this hall, but there might be one who occasionally gets it wrong. But God don't walk away. That's what I'm trying to say. He don't sort of leave you and then say, I'll come back when you've cleaned yourself up a bit. No one in this room thinks like that, of course. Think a little bit about yourself. Proverbs 17:17 says this. A friend loves at all times. What does it all mean? All times. Jesus said to his disciples, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. A friend loves at all times. Who should I pick? I'll pick on Arthur because if I don't see him again, he'll be all right. He's coming. So, I love you. And you're not so good. No, in your case, that's not a possibility. But we need to get that revelation, because I think most of us sit down and think, God loves me when I'm good, but then he goes away when I'm bad. So now, somehow, I've got to climb up this slippery pole and be good again. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me. And that's the Christian life for so many. I want to say to you, listen to this one. I like this one. Jeremiah 31:3. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And therefore I have drawn you with cords of loving kindness. How long has God loved me? He has loved me with an everlasting love. In fact, the Bible clearly teaches, before I was even born, God knew me and loved me. So don't tell me he gives up on you. If he can love you that long, even when, I know you was all born Christian, not. But even before you became a Christian, ready? Even when you were out there doing your thing, not that you ever had a thing to do, but if you were ever out there doing your thing, I want to tell you this, God loved you. The Bible clearly teaches that while we were his enemies, God still loved us. What am I trying to say to you today? Well, if he could love me then, why can't he love me now? If he has loved me forever, before I was, surely he's loving me now. Someone needs to see it, because I tell you, it holds you back from doing what God wants you to do. All right, listen to this one. Down some more. Be here in the belly before long. Don't worry. All right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I know it's hot and bothered, but you'll do all right. Says this: For he himself has promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen to that. Whenever I read that, I will never leave you or abandon you. I will never give up on you. Now, let's be honest. I'll pick on Arthur again. Historically, I may have said, Arthur, I've just about had enough of you, mate, and give up on you. But God, who is rich in mercy, said that I will never, ever leave you or forsake it. He goes on to say in verse 6, therefore we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, what can man do to me? But that is a quote, believe it or not, I'll never leave you or forsake you, from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says this, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. And he will never leave you or forsake you. God is with us. A friend loves at all times, Proverbs 17:17. And a brother is born for adversity. Fine weather friends. None of you have ever had them? When everything's going good, they're your friends. When the going is good, the good is going. But, can I say this? That when adversity comes along, suddenly, you've lost them. Whither they go, thou dost not know, but they're gone. Fine weather friends. Ready? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Adversity, actually, the literal meaning of the word is tightness. When you're in pressure, under pressure, got problems. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Ready? Just those who are taking notes. Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, humans, no matter how much they love us, have the possibility to fail. There is a friend. Who's old enough to remember this? I have a friend. Oh, such a friend. His goodness faileth never. I nothing lack while I am his, and he is mine forever. I have a friend, oh such a friend. Don't you get excited about that? Just walking down the street. Hey, how you doing? I'm all right. What sort of day are you having? Not bad. What about you? I've got a friend who stays closer than a brother, who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, who is with me always. Maybe someone's getting the picture now. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to have to hurry up, aren't I? Of course I am. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. That's not the right one. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's nice. When you pass through the fire, when you pass through the flame, when you pass through the river, when you pass through the flood, guess what? I am with you. Now, we seem to think, I'm going to pass through the river and he'll be on the other side. I'm going to pass through the fire and he'll catch up with me on the other side. No, he goes through it with us. Who reads their Bible? Daniel. There was a man called Daniel. You know that one? What did I teach you? Huh? You used to pray three times a day. Good old Daniel. But the king's decree said, worship me. Poor old Daniel. But Daniel would not bow to me. Good old Daniel. So the locks went, and the gates went, and the lions began to roar. Anyway, carry on. Children's work. You shouldn't do it.
Your talents are wasted.
Daniel. So Daniel is a bad king. He's full of himself. And he puts a great statue and says, everyone who falls down, not Daniel, the other bloke. There was a king who, Nebuchadnezzar, he's the boy, who was really full of himself. And he builds a statue of himself and says, anybody who's got to fall down and worship me when they hear the trumpets. And three guys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bend. My shack, your shack, and a bungalow. So we're not going to bow to me. So he throws them in this furnace. This is the bridge version. Daniel chapter 3, I think. And he goes up to the spy hole. And he turns to his people and he says, how many people did we throw in there? And they say, 3, O king. And he says, well, how comes then? I can count 4. I can count a 4th man walking in the midst of the fire with them. And you know the story, and they come out and they don't even smell like they've been in the fire. I want to say to you, the 4th man is with you. Whatever you're going through, he has said, I am with you always. Is it getting better? Because you're going to go home. You're going to have the opportunity to get all depressed and dark. Or you can have an opportunity to think, do you know what? I've got a friend. Maybe I can talk to my friend. And maybe I know my friend will not abandon me. And maybe I know my friend loves me with an everlasting love. Because some forgot where he was. A couple of scriptures to close. I'll not get into them for you. Romans chapter 8, that's why you got Paul saying, let's be honest. It's like the verse 31. Who can separate us from the love of God? Is that persecutions, nakedness, famine, the sword, tribulation? No, in all the things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things above, nor things to come, nor things that were and things that will be, can separate me from the love of God. Today I want to say to you, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God other than you. Isaiah 59 and 2 says, your sins have made a separation between you and your God. But if we confess our sin, if we get it out of the way, how are you doing today? I'm doing all right. Why? Because you're there. Let me tell you a story. Yeah, I'm quite big, aren't I? My brother's taller than me. And it used to be great, you know. Occasionally someone will give you one of them. But then my big brother would turn up. And you knew. I want to tell you, I have a friend. I have such a friend. He calls himself God. And he said he would never leave me or forsake me. If you wanted some more scripture, I can give you Matthew 28 and 20, where Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That'll do. And he goes on in verse 13. Fear not, for I'm in Norfolk, aren't I? Remember I went round earlier tying bits of ribbon on your right hand. Hold up your right hand. Come on, it's not a trick. Okay, let's see. Look for it. You all got one? Yeah, I've got a right hand. Yeah, Isaiah 41 verse 13 says this. For it is I who hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help. Now let me just give you a little picture to tell you. Verse 10, he says he's going to uphold me with his right hand. Verse 13 says he's holding my right hand. That means we're facing each other. He's not some distant God. He's not some strange God. He's a God who's intimately face to face. Friend. One more? I'll close. Some of us are getting no younger. Believe it or not, I think I am. That must be a medical condition, but we're at the airport, and the bloke speaking about Val and I, he said, "Oh, I've got some elderly people there." So I looked over my shoulder. I thought it was just Val and I. Anyway, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. We sang it. I thank you for that today. I shall not want either. When I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Even as we go from life to more life. That's why death is only a shadow. Maybe today, social group, everything. He's known you before you were born. He loves you with a love that you cannot imagine. So much so that he was willing to die for you on a cross. He wants you to know this love in the everydayness of now. He wants to be that friend who stays closer than a brother. An ever-present help in time of trouble. He will only come where he's welcomed. He will only come where he's invited. You may not understand everything, but you know you've done things wrong. The Bible calls that sin. And it says, if we confess our sin, if we own up, yeah, that's me. He will forgive us of our sin, and he will cleanse us, and he will come into our heart, and he will be there. So I want us to pray, maybe together. Let's pray. Father, would you forgive me? Firstly, forgive me for my sin. It's not them, it's not those, it's me. And I ask you to forgive me because you said you would. Not because I deserve it. Not because of any merit of mine. But because of what Jesus did at Calvary. That when he died, he paid for my sin. Now, Lord, I ask you to come and live in my heart. And help me every day to know you near, to walk in a way that's pleasing to you. Come in by your Spirit now. You are welcome. And the way I understand my Bible is this, that the moment you prayed that in sincerity, God takes you at your word. And he will come and he will live in you. And really, that's what being a Christian is all about. And then read your Bible. Let him talk to you. And then talk to him. That's what praying is. So if that's us today, the saints of God say, amen. And if you have prayed today, I'd ask you to either talk to your pastor or talk to the people you've come with. You know, the first time you've actually said, I want to be a Christian, because it's the most great adventure. Oh, pastor.